Alan.
Grez.
Here. And welcome to Rise of the Robots. Just before the start of the episode, just a quick reminder that if you want to hear our dulcet tones elsewhere, well, good luck finding it with Grez, because he's not on our podcast at the moment. He's mine! All mine!
Yep, I've actually just had the gag taken out of my mouth and the handcuffs taken off just so I can record this.
And meanwhile, if you want to hear me elsewhere, you can listen to the DCAU podcast, where Rebecca and I discuss DC animated movies.
And on the occasion, you can find me there. If you miss me.
I'm Alan.
I am the Grizz.
And you're listening to Rise of the Robots. This week, we're attempting to discuss Techno Games 2002 Day 2.
On our Grizzmas episode, Merry Grizzmas! On my heavy metal Grizzmas, my true love gave to me a tattoo of Ozzy.
And also, we started with a football challenge, which is a new event for Techno Games.
Yes, we saw British Bulldog and Big Bro versus Terry the Turtle and Bugs Bunny? Buggy? God damn it. I wasn't the only person that did that.
So, this is a new event. They don't tell us how long the matches are, but it's two
teams. I think they said 3 minutes.
Right.
So it's it was very in passing.
Yeah. So, two teams of two. Generally, a lot of teams will have one defender and one attacker. And this is the start of, and I think we've had a couple of times where stuff like this has happened, where Robot Wars robots have had their weapons taken off, a slight different paint job, and...
Well, some of them, it's literally just a name change, like you just came from WWE and went to TNA.
Yeah.
Like, British Bulldog is just Bulldog Breed, except it's not called Bulldog Breed.
Yes, and we also have, so Bugs Bunny's the Hydra team.
Hail Hydra!
We will not support even fictional Nazis on this podcast, thank you very much.
They weren't Nazis, they were just misunderstood.
Hydra were the Nazis, so Nazi the Nazis thought they were too Nazi.
My head hurts.
So... Terry the Turtle is Roadkill, I believe, or whatever it's called. The robot that basically shows from now until the end of Robot Wars reboot.
Oofed.
As in, I actually think they're in the last episode of Robot Wars to ever air.
Oof.
And the robot doesn't change that much in between.
Oof. Like, consider I've already said it's terrible, and it's in a football match here and not even a competitive robot fighting contest. Like, that really scares me that this actually went into a robot fighting tournament.
So... I think this is one of these ideas that was a lot more interesting on paper than actually watching on TV.
I mean, I kind of enjoyed the thing for what it was, the event, but if the arena was just like slightly bigger and, let's face it, if the talent involved was a bit better, because, like, come on, Terry the fucking Turtle, like, seriously, the thing could barely move. Like, Bugs Buggy had to do everything for its team.
Yeah.
And when you're getting double-teamed by British Bulldog when it decides to feel like working, and Big Bro, who's one of the best driven robots in robot combat, you're gonna have a hard time.
I think, let's be honest though, I mean, 2002 is Big Brother's year.
Yeah.
And in terms of its... Without going into too much detail, it has its main success. in Robot Wars in their entire history. They show up in virtually every event. I genuinely think it's like it's a double figure percentage of entries in this year's Techno Games are the Big Brawler team.
Yeah, and it's not even just Big Bro that they use, even though they do use that robot quite a lot. Like, the team have other robots as well. One that we will end up talking about in just a few minutes at another event.
Yeah.
As we say, it was, I believe they said around 3 minutes. It was British Brodog and Big Bro versus Terry the Turtle and Bugs Buggy. Bugs Buggy manages to almost pull back this match. It goes up 3-1 at one point. Bugs Buggy manages to score a second, and for a brief second I was like, oh my god, are they actually going to pull off the upset here? And then Bigger Brother just promptly scored around another 4 goals. Bulldog didn't do much. He did a bit of defending. Terry the Turtle literally done nothing. I think it even died at one point. It probably would have been more helpful if it tried to die in the goal to try and, you know, keep a bit of the goal covered up,
yeah,
to maybe prevent goals. But the match ended with a 7-2 to Big Bro and Bulldog. I took a whole bunch of notes for this and then realized that they're probably likely not going to use them, so I just summarized.
Yeah. My favorite bit is Big Brother scores a goal whilst carrying Terry the Turtle on its front scoop. So it scores by hitting Terry the Turtle on the ball.
Yeah. There was one point where Bugs Buggy tried to get the ball away from his own net and then just decided to knock it in anyway.
Yeah.
So just at that point, Bugs Buggy decided that he's going to switch teams, and I don't blame you, to be honest.
I do think what they could have done here is either had a bigger arena or smaller robots. Either of those would be, because I know there are like smaller, yeah, football playing robots.
Yeah, we've seen that in the last season where it was those little box robots.
Yeah.
Yeah, like that's kind of what I was saying when I says like I think the arena needed to be bigger if you were going to have heavyweight robots doing this.
Uh-huh.
Like, you could have probably done like maybe like a half size of a football pitch, like outside, and then maybe do like 3-on-3 or something, because it's just too enclosed of an area.
Yeah.
For four robots that size.
So.
And then it's just stuff like they're just bumping each other all the time.
We also hear mentioned that Bugs Bunny, which if it is Bugs Buggy.
Right. So that's you, me, and Noel that have all done it.
So that robot's 2.2 grand.
Yes.
Then, which really annoys me, because I always thought of Hydra as, oh, it's the plucky little upstart. No, no, it's 2 fucking grand.
And then Noel says, yeah, they got ripped off.
That's 8 Chaos 2s.
Eight Chaos 2s.
I love that that's now my measuring stick.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It always has been, and for as long as the rest of this podcast existing, it always will be.
So, meanwhile, we get another new event, an event that actually I'm kind of surprised they haven't had, which is the Sumo.
Sumo! When are we getting the Pinball Warrior tournament in Techno Games?
I think they've got the Assault Course. It's weird, because I actually, the football I could kind of get, the sumo I can kind of get, I still don't get the Assault Course. The one thing I think would have been more interesting is maybe and I can see why they would do this, because it's, maybe just have a rule where it's like, can it not just be your robot with a flimsy plastic shell over the top tornado?
Well, apparently, they did mention that you didn't, like, because obviously, as we see Storm Chaser later, they went out of their way to really make the robot different. But then they showed up and every other robot just showed up as they did in Robot Wars and just kind of put some black tape over over the robot name. It's like, yeah, we could have just done that. But, I mean, points for, you know, like Sprocket, like, is spray painted a different color than Smidzy and Storm Chaser. And then also my personal favorite switchover was Snowstorm.
I have to be honest, the one I actually enjoy the most is Technomorph, because it's kind of like, oh, we're seeing Behemoth naked.
Yeah, I was going to bring this up later, but since you just mentioned him now, is that Season 2 Behemoth? Because that thing is tiny.
No, I think you'll find it's basically, that's the actual chassis.
Okay.
Because Behemoth from Season 2 was quite, was very narrow, and that robot isn't.
Well, that's going to be in the list of eternal questions that we'll have if we ever get any of the Behemoth boys on.
Yeah. So anyway, we get on to the Sumo, and the first two robots I don't think have appeared on Robot Wars.
Not yet. Anyway, I feel like I remember Hellbound appearing at some point in Robot Wars. I mean, there is. So first of all, like, we should mention, it's two robots. So on the second day of Christmas, my true love gave to me two pairs of spandex pants and a tattoo of Ozzy. But I'm just gonna have a quick look and have a look. Okay, like, so let's see, Hellbound Techno Games.
So I'm Hellbound, gonna do this whilst you're doing live. This.
Yes,
Hellbound is kind of, it's weird, the robot it actually most puts me in mind of is Dreadnought, this kind of large, blocky, plasticky-looking robot.
Mm-hmm.
This particular one has, like, the outlines of a skeleton painted over it, including, you've got, like, the bottom of skeleton feet pointing at the front.
Okay, so it failed to qualify for Season 4 of Robot Wars, and it's in Season 7, and it's 2003 design, which we'll see next year, and it's called Hellbound in Robot Wars. So this version of Hellbent / Hellbound was not seen on Robot Wars.
Oh, okay.
So there you go, there's that. So let's, why don't you describe what Ridgeback looks like, and I will also get a quick look and see if he was on Robot Wars.
Ridgeback, I think, might be the Scorpion team. It's certainly the same shape as the second version of Scorpion, the one that didn't have the chainsaw face. It is a see-through plastic robot, kind of, so that kind of weird, not quite reversed coffin shape, but like maybe just a shortened version of that.
Well, you are right. They are Team Scorpion. It doesn't say that this is Scorpion, so maybe this was just another robot that they had that they just used for this. Maybe this was made specifically for this, because I don't think Ridgeback shows up in any of these other events. It just seems to be the Sumo, so maybe it was purposely made for this.
Yeah, I mean, it's not I'll be perfectly honest, it is not the most scintillating match. Basically, Ridgeback gets caught on the edge of Hellbound, so Hellbound's able to kind of roll it through and throw it out of the arena.
Hmm. Yeah, because it has, like, the little scoop thing on the front. That's really the only reason why I think that maybe it was made for this event. Yeah, I just put my very, very short amount of notes. They get stuck in the spinning dance of death as both go off the sumo ring. But Ridgeback hits the tires just before Hellbound. So Hellbound gets to advance.
Yep. So we have our first Robot Wars proper competitor in the next match, as Mighty Mouse takes on Chip.
Chip.
So Chip is a weird looking... Do you know what Chip looks? Chip looks like a robot you would see on Robotica.
Yeah, that was the first kind of vibe that I got from seeing Chip.
So it's a four-wheel robot with pushing scoop type design.
Yeah, a big spike thingy.
Yeah, with a chisel on the front, absolutely.
Yeah, so they failed to enter Season 3 and Season 4 of Robot Wars with Xenomorph.
Come on in.
And then they also failed to qualify for Season 5 and 6 with Chip.
Yeah, because I know one of the other teams that shows up, the Toaster Robot tried to enter Robot Wars and failed.
Mm-hmm. I know, and that was quite a unique robot. I'm surprised they didn't take that one on.
Well, they had... If they're going to have unique robots, they have to be a joke.
Yes, of course. But joke robots are always the best robots.
Absolutely.
So, as is the old days of us trying to do Season 1 and 2 of Robot Wars, sumo robots are very entertaining to watch. Not entertaining to talk about.
Nope.
So, Chip and Mighty Mouse start, and to be honest, I thought Chip was just going to come straight in and shove Mighty Mouse off. I'm surprised Mighty Mouse survived the first hit, but then promptly just got pushed off a few seconds later. It didn't even seem as if Mighty Mouse actually even moved that much.
Yeah, it didn't seem to be moving that cleanly. So,
but nevertheless, in about, 17.32, Chip knocks Mighty Mouse off the arena edge.
Yep. So,
because this is also the thing, like, realizing how small the field for sumo is.
Yeah, particularly when you sit there and go, so what? I mean, Technomorph was one of the most successful robots in sumo history.
Yeah.
Why is it not there?
Yeah. Hell, even if Exterminator came without his axe, and you could just call it Tex-erminator or something. Like, that robot also done extremely well in sumo as well. Like, why wouldn't you have that here?
Or what you could even have is, oh, we have a late entry, and then Shunt comes running in. And then what happens is Shunt, in its first match, is doing really well, and then it accidentally fires its axe, and it gets disqualified.
It's Shunt's doing really well, but then it just pans to the crowd, and you just see Panic Attack sitting there. or Anik Patak. And then Shunt gets fright and jumps off the edge.
Yeah. Or, I don't know, workers from the insane asylum come and it jumps out away.
We're all gonna die.
So, meanwhile, we get these... Also, we get the start of... Because I know you were kind of... When Simon Scott appears, you know the robot's going to do well. This mm-hmm. is the start of something of a streak of fails.
Yeah, I think they noticed a bit too hard. There's like a Simon only introduces the robots that win. So it's like, right, we'll talk about Mighty Mouse because it's quite unique. And then Mighty Mouse loses and we go, oh, like my logic is already out the window in episode 2.
Yeah.
And there's another distinct one later on where the commentator makes a comment and says, ah, see, Simon doesn't pick them right all the time or something.
Yeah. Barry Davis is having a lot of fun.
Yeah, he's on rare form here.
Yeah.
Like, he's always been good throughout the first two seasons, but I think now he just kind of realizes, like, this is just a bit of fun. and so I'm going to have as much fun as I can with it.
So we then start, we then have the relay event. We have the defending champions, Team Comeback.
Can they do it again?
And of course, there are three robots in a relay team.
Oh, on my Heavy Metal Christmas, my true love gave to me three studded belts, two pairs of spandex pants, and a tattoo of Ozzy.
So, Team Cam is doing the same thing as the previous year. They have this mechanism on the side of the cars where they hand over. This run is really quick. The first run, they do sub 10 seconds. Handover is very clean. The second handover is a little less clean. And then the last lap's really bad and they crash into the wall. But they still somehow managed to set a new world record of 38.97 seconds.
Yeah, like, because it was the way that the second and was it the first and second handover, like they handed it over in a weird kind of way. So when the second and third handover had to come, the robot that was handing it over needed to get in front of the third robot instead of grabbing from behind. Had to give it the old reach around.
I do think it's a bit weird to have the team that was doing the university challenge is now taking on teams of kids. Because every other team in this is kids.
Yeah, but when it comes to a lot of the kid teams, like, there's some that are there that will actually be quite impressive, more so in the next episode, but the next time we see the relay, like the dinosaur team.
Yeah.
They had a decent design on paper. It just kind of doesn't really work. But anyway, we'll get to that in the next episode.
So,
pardon me.
Yeah, the next robot is Grabosaurus.
Jesus, this was the team I was talking about. I thought they were in the next episode. Oh well, never mind.
So
there they are.
The description I've got in my notes is they use a mechanical latch, kind of that. They overlap both. Bar, both grippers onto the bar.
Mm-hmm.
And it was going so well until the first lap started. First lap is a good few seconds behind Team Cam. They drop the baton, and then the first handover, they drop the baton.
Yeah, they drive into the wall to begin with, and that drops the baton once. And then, as you say, the changeover is when they drop it a second time. And it just, it kind of goes a bit pear-shaped from there.
And the result of all this is effectively, even though the last switch is pretty good and the laps get better, they get 50 seconds of penalties.
Oofed. So their time was 1:21.03, and then their 50 seconds of penalties adds up to 2:19.03.
Yep. Also, and the final run of today is Team Lumatics, who are robots made of Kinex.
But they say something like this collection of robots costs like, yeah, like. I mean, I remember Kinex was quite expensive when we were this age, but...
But, I mean, Kinex and robot and remote control cars.
Hmm.
So, this team, this is... their system is basically, they have these scoops on a hair trigger, and when they touch the robot in front, it basically goes... And it's kind of hard to do this in audio, but it kind of goes...
It goes yeet!
Yeet, slap into the next robot.
It's like they're high-fiving each other.
So the first lap is really quick. The handover is a little clumsy, but it's okay. Then, as they're going round, the robot firstly drops the baton.
Yeah, it takes a turn too sharply, and the baton just flies out.
And then once they put the baton in, the mechanism fires far, far, far too early.
And then they spend about a good 20 seconds fixing the robot just so it can then do the relay passover.
Yeah. To the point where just put it in the old robot, pal.
Yeah, that's... I mean, you've already got a penalty anyway. May as well just...
Yeah.
I mean, they still came second of the day with
and
1 minute, 5.87 seconds with only 20 seconds of penalties, so...
I mean, yeah, it would have been a decent time. It wouldn't have been a million miles off being a contender if they'd got each handover right.
Yeah, but that's the story of the relay, really is. If everything can go perfectly, you'll get a really good run. And it's just really unfortunate sometimes for some of these teams that it just struggles.
So.
But nevertheless. And now we get on to our favourite event of last year's Techno Games, because it was the easiest and the most comprehensive event to talk about. Alan, it's time for Rocket Cars.
Rocket Cars, which has 4 entrants per race.
4? Like, oh, on the fourth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me. I said Christmas, not Christmas. Oh, well. 4? Like, on the fourth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me 4 quarts of Jack, 3 studded belts, 2 pairs of spandex pants, and a tattoo of Ozzy.
Indeed. So, the robots on this, they're kind of various sizes. If you just imagine someone put 4 wheels on a firework. Now, I'm sure it's a lot more complicated than that, but they don't tell us anything. They also don't tell us, oh, is the rocket a standard size? Does it have to be 1 rocket? Can it be 2? They don't actually explain.
They don't explain it. They just go, look at this. Look at its paint. Look how fast it can go.
So, they do have the most fun you can have in 4 seconds.
Yeah, because even you can last longer than that.
Indeed. So, the first robot to win is 31-13.
Which... I was talking about rock climbing, by the way.
Yeah, of course.
I'm sure you'll be able to hold on a wall for more than 4 seconds.
I mean, to be fair, you've never seen me rock climbing.
True.
I do suffer quite bad vertigo. So the first winner is 31-13 with a time of 1.829 seconds.
Yep.
I'll just go
Catalyst.
Through
Oh, yeah, sorry. I was just going to say Catalyst, Charter Flyer, and Dax CBM were his opponents.
I'm just going to skip over the second race very quickly. So, Prestissimo gets a time 1.717 seconds, beating Rapid Rickshaw, Silver Bullet, and Purple Pandurum.
Pandurum. Yeah, sure, let's just go with whatever the fuck you said.
And Torpedo has the slowest victory at 3.19 seconds, which I think there were several robots faster than that that came third and don't go into the next round.
Yeah.
It beat WWW2, Whizzer, and Turboflame.
Yep.
However, the most exciting race is Doggy Fast Tracks versus Mach 0.26 versus Plastic Meltdown versus Lightstorm 2.
Electric Boogaloo.
Lightstorm 2 manages to cover 35 metres in 1.037 seconds.
And it's a new record.
By the time it finishes, it has hit 153.4 miles an hour.
Jesus Christ. I mean...
I wouldn't want to be hit by it, but I'll put it that way.
The thing is, like, you see Lightstorm 2 go so fast that it flies off the screen. All the rest of them eventually stop. So I would be surprised if Lightstorm 2 just went until a wall came in.
Yep.
It came in its way, more specifically. Right, so the rules of this was it was the first two people to complete the track that advanced. And as you alluded to, with Torpedo being 3.19 seconds, that was seventh out of the eight fastest. But there was obviously also people from other races that were significantly faster, which is why definitely there should be a look at, like, maybe the rules for next year of just changing it to just do the eight fastest.
Yeah, because it's happened a few times where you're sitting there going, well, we'll actually get into this in the swimming, where there's a robot that would normally, if you were doing times, would probably get into the semi-finals, but instead goes out.
I know, it's just like luck of the draw.
Yeah.
On who you're put up against.
So anyway, that is the first round of the rocket. We also get a little documentary following Winifred Technology School talking about the F1 Challenge.
Mm-hmm. Well, what we'll do is I've got the eight here that advanced to the next round, and it's going to be, I think it's two rounds of four again, and then maybe then the two again will then advance to the final from each race. So I think it's just going to go eight down to four down to, that's it. So anyway, the eight are Lightning Storm 2, 1.037 seconds, Max 0.26 with 1.320 seconds. That got confusing. Prestissimo, 1.717 seconds. 3113, 1.829 seconds. Catalyst, 1.983 seconds. Rapid Rickshaw, 2.439 seconds. Torpedo, 3.190 seconds. And Turbo Flame with 4.277 seconds. That's quite a rough one in this. So all eight of them advance. And we'll see in a few episodes how they do from there.
Hi, Alan here, just taking a quick break from the action. Grizz and I would like to thank a couple of the people that made this podcast possible. First, we would like to thank Greg Watt for the logo.
Our theme song is also by Technomax. You can find their music online at YouTube. That's just search for Technomax.
That's Technomax spelled T-E-K-N-O-A-X-E. So after that, we have the final of the penalty kick. And we find out that the Cybertenic team are the Megamorg team.
Yes. Sorry, I'm just trying to see if Cybertenic has a number on its jersey. They don't.
So Cybertenic. So this is the second round. So these are the three robots that successfully managed to get a 10-meter kick. And they're now attempting a 15-meter kick.
That's 15 meters. Did I ask this five? on the fifth day of Christmas, my true love gave to me 5 scully rings, 4 quarts of jack, 3 studded belts, 2 pairs of spandex pants, and a tattoo of Ozzy.
So, the cybertechnic kick is short on both attempts.
Yep.
The next robot is Jake the Peg, the Big Brawler team.
Yeah.
Ellie is originally given the presentation. Then they go, well, maybe we should get Ian Watch, you know, the man who actually built it, to explain how it actually works.
Yeah, and if I feel like for this season, oh my God, what's the name? Is it Jake? No. What's the other kid's name? Ian's a fucking... Joe! There you go. Joe Watts. It seems as if he's been reserved this season to just be like the hate man that just goes, ah, we're going to win!
Well, that's because he's too busy giving all the awesome interviews in Robot Wars.
Yeah, let Ellie get a shot.
Yeah.
So, Jig the Peg, its first attempt... 50 meters was a fail. It just seemed as if something happened with the gas, because it pulled all the way back and then it just kind of went, and then it kind of went up, and then finally kicked. But there was clearly something the matter with it. And then the second attempt, it just couldn't clear the line either. It was really kind of disappointing, these first two robots, because I felt like there was just so much promise from the three robots that advanced, and then these first two like just failed on both attempts. It was really disappointing.
And also, absolutely hilariously, so these two robots have really complicated CO2 gas systems, and then it's like, here's our robot. It's made of wooden bungee cords. And not only does it manage to successfully kick over 15 meters, it also kicks over 20.
Which is a new record.
And apparently they could have actually done better, but they had to borrow bungee cords from other teams.
Well, I mean, that I would like to see. I don't remember if rugby comes back in the next season, so well, maybe we'll see. But hopefully, if that's the case, they come back next year and see if they can topple their world record of 20 meters. So the well, this is going to be interesting to see how they would actually work this out. So Achilles heel, this is the final, by the way, we probably should mention. So yeah. Achilles heel get the gold medal for doing 20 meters. Cybertenic and Jake the Peg both share second place. So the silver medals with their 10 meter kicks, which technically means Neil J and the Kinghurst kicker share the bronze medals with 0 meters. They got on the podium just by showing up.
You turned up, have a medal.
Thanks. So, I mean, I think there's like 2 medals. They normally have 2 medals each, so like 2 gold, 2 silver, and 2 bronze to give to people. So that's 6 medals overall. But on the 6th day of Christmas, my true love gave to me 6 cans of hairspray, 5 skull earrings, 4 quarts of jack, 3 studded belts, 2 pairs of spandex pants, and a tattoo of Ozzy.
Indeed. So anyway, we get on to the cycling now. And I genuinely think that this might be... Well, I was going to say a candidate for the Nesta Prize. I don't think there is a Nesta Prize in this season. Because they don't mention Nesta at all.
The only thing that they seem to mention is, like, at the end of every episode, they're like, here's a selection of 4 robots for you to go and vote on, and who was the robot of the the day or something.
Yeah.
But it seems as if there isn't a big prize this year.
Yeah. And maybe they're starting to realise this isn't getting the ratings or money we wanted.
So we're not willing to shell out a massive trips to fucking Japan for people anymore?
Yes.
Oh, well. I mean, we'll see in a later segment when the driver of Cheeky Boy 1 who won the Nesta prize last year, the all of 3 seconds of him in Japan, and the most exciting thing he's seen is a bidet. If you don't know what that is, it squirts water up your arse after you've taken the shit.
Because, and people actually point out, that's actually cleaner than toilet paper.
It's obviously a lot more common now than it used to be, but...
It used to be that toilet paper... Well, not used to be. Toilet paper's only really common in the UK and America. Anyway, so the cycling we have, Red Dispatch Boxicle, which is like the guys from last week, except not as good. Whiz Bang 2. Now, basically, it's the same principle. It doesn't really matter because it immediately crashes.
It crashes and kills itself. Like, it does not come back.
Yeah.
Like, it actually snaps in two when it goes face first into the wall.
Meanwhile, the robot that everyone's actually here to see, Looney Cycle.
I love it. I love it so much, and I want it.
So, Looney Cycle is a wheel that is motorized and steers through fans.
Yeah, it's like if you just took the front of a bike off. Sorry, I just got another look at Red Dispatch Boxicle, or Boxicle, sorry. And I do want to comment, it is a bit like Whiz Bang, except it's like on one of those really weird bikes that you see that where people like are lying down as they cycle, which you don't ever really see outside of the gym, except for one person that used to go past my flat and see the amount of people that stared at that guy as he drove past in that thing. So, there's that. So, Looney Cycle. Simon describes how this works. As we mentioned, it's one wheel. The batteries are on like one side, the motor's on the other, to keep it balanced. And then pretty much the rest of it is just through gravity.
Mm-hmm.
And there's fans on either side that help it turn. And honestly, that just sounds like the most bizarre concept for anything ever.
And then
like,
when you see
a singular wheel,
it's beautiful.
Oh, it's incredible. Like, it still astounds me, and I watched the show back when it aired 20 plus years ago.
Yeah.
So it's still baffling to me now. And yeah, absolutely. Like, if there was a Nesta prize or even anything, like even just, you know, like a cash prize or something for best robot, Looney Cycle deserves it. Easily.
Fucking lootly. It's the best robot we've seen so far.
So speaking of Looney Cycle, we then move on to Bob's Bike,
which is a robot with balls for wheels.
Balls.
Could be worse. You could be Crocodilla Pig.
Yeah, which is half a scooter.
Yeah. Almost literally.
I would probably say that Crocodilla Pig maybe lasted about 7 seconds or so before it crashed into the wall and didn't come back. But speaking of seven, on the seventh day of Christmas, my trip gave to me 7 leather jackets, 6 cans of hairspray, 5 sculler rings, 4 corset jack, 3 studded belts, 2 pairs of spandex pants, and a tattoo of Ozzy. After Crocodilla Pig, which doesn't look like a croca, a dilla, or a pig, after that crashes, Bob just takes its merry old little time and gets around the course in 1:43.34.
Yep.
It was very chill about it.
Oh, yeah. It was that just kind of... Do, 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 do. And you can see the R team just sitting there going, oh, please, we could have... end.
I know, they were standing
there. We have time to actually sit and repair it.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they tried to. Because it got almost round to Bob's Bakes, half of the arena before it crashed. So, you know, it already, like, pretty much almost lapped Bob's Bake, like, instantly. There could have been a chance if they could get whatever was broke fixed and working again. But, sure, Crocodile Pig may have only lasted 7 seconds or so. But, you know what? That was probably 6.999999 seconds longer than it took for Mammoth, who they just purely showed because one of the team members that ran alongside Mammoth to get it started just fell over arse of a kettle. Just purely, like, they only showed that to be like, ha, look, this guy fell. And then, like, it never showed anything. And Mammoth doesn't even come up on the leaderboard. Like, it shows the other three that says did not finish, but it doesn't say anything about Mammoth. So it's like, I guess, like, he just fell and then probably ran out the arena crying in embarrassment and never showed up again. So I guess their run was just defunct.
Yeah.
That's me assuming that's how that went.
So, we then get the Reskins football match.
We do. We get this new up-and-comer called Storm Chaser,
which looks suspiciously like Tornado, but with a fancy jacket on.
Ah. Well, at least this jacket's quite small and not a massive cage.
I mean, it wouldn't be practical for football. It's too
much. Oh, yes, if they had a massive cage, because then they could just sit in front of the goal the entire time as if they were.
Shouldn't you be carrying on the gag about now?
I need the number 8 to show up.
Well, between them, Storm Chaser and its teammate Sprocket have 8 wheels.
Ah! Just like on the 8th day of Christmas, my true love gave to me 8 pentagrams, 7 leather jackets, 6 cans of hairspray, 5 scully rings, 4 quarts of jack, 3 studded belts, 2 pairs of spandex pants, and a tattoo of Ozzy.
And this match also has 9 goals in it!
9? What, like, on the 9th day of Christmas, my true love gave to me 9 tired t-shirts, 8 pentagrams, 7 leather jackets, 6 cans of hairspray, 5 scully rings, 4 quarts of jack, 3 studded belts, 2 pairs of spandex pants, and a tattoo of Ozzy. Could you tell that we're trying to get this whole gag in and we're running really low on...
This is really a perfect 10 gag!
Perfect 10? Like on the 10th day of Christmas? My true love gave to me 10 pairs of platforms, 9 tired t-shirts, 8 pentagrams, 7 leather jackets, 6 cans of hairspray, 5 scully rings, 4 quarts of jack, 3 studded belts, 2 pairs of spandex pants, and a tattoo of Ozzy.
That's brief. So, Storm Chaser's teammate is Sprocket, which is smitty with some bread sticky back plastic on it.
Yeah, it's like, it's colour swapped, the palette swapped, that's the word.
Yes, so their opponents are Racioli, which, let's be honest, up a space.
Racioli? It's Ravioli?
That. Who cares? It really doesn't matter. I don't think it actually moves. And
the theme, you know, yeah. This, so I'm going to quickly apologise to Terry the Turtle, because I mean it seemed like that was the worst robot in this football tournament.
No.
Then I laid eyes on Ravioli, you're right, literally done nothing, and also seemed like the robot was backwards. Because why would you have a robot that's meant to control a football and its front, it's got a front caster wheel? That's not something you'd be able to control a ball with.
Yep. So, their teammate is Technomorph, or as we should really be calling it, Naked Behemoth.
Hmm.
And unfortunately,
how many different behemoths do you think there are at this point?
That's the thing. I actually want to know: is there anything from series 2 Behemoth that physically is part of modern Behemoth?
Just so you think that there's 11.
I mean. It's been running for over 11 years.
Like, on the 11th day of Christmas, my true love gave to me 11 black mascaras, 10 pairs of platforms, 9 tire t-shirts, 8 pentagrams, 7 leather jackets, 6 cans of hairspray, 5 scullion rings, 4 quarts of jack, 3 set of belts, 2 pairs of bandage pants, and a tattoo of Aussie.
Half-brief. So, this match, Tornado and Smidzy are working together, and basically, Technomorph is being
bullied.
It is being spit roasted by these two nasty, nasty robots.
I think there is actually a point where he does genuinely get spit roasted by both of them, because I think Storm Chaser shoves him at one point, and the Sprocket's just on the other side, like, hello.
So the match ends 7-2, and the next match will be BBBB versus Storm Chaser and Sprocket Raccoon.
Sprocket Raccoon.
So, actually, Sprocket Raccoon would do well at football. So, we finish.
To be honest, that would go right back to the regular point you made of football being for smaller robots.
Yes. So, we finish with the assault course. We start with two robots that look like Hardvark and are about as reliable and successful as Hardvark 2.
Sorry, I wasn't listening. Are we in the assault course?
Yes.
Right, cool, because... Okay, I think I see what you're talking about. Are you talking about Smash and Grab?
Smash and Grab and Quadsy. Both of them look like Hardvark.
Right, yeah, like... So Smash and Grab is from the team that entered Tantrum in T2 in Seasons 2 and 3 of Robot Wars.
Okay.
I had thought that this was a different robot, but it's not. And I'm pretty sure Quadsy is Shockwave.
Okay.
That's a guess, but it looks exactly like Shockwave from that terrible episode that we had the Jam Lads on.
Oh, yeah. So, this is actually this is a really close race. I think there's like a 2-second gap at the end.
Oh, my God. Team Shockwave were also Flirty Skirty and Miss Isle.
So,
There's two robot names I never thought I would say again on this podcast.
So, yeah, Smash and Grab manages to come out just 2 seconds away from the world record. Quadsy's done in about a minute. And then suddenly we go, oh, yeah, we've only had 2 examples of Big Brawler in this episode. So Big Bro now takes on Sprocket.
Yeah. There was the good maneuverability getting over the ramp, which is always the Getting over the ramp is the life or death situation when it comes to this assault course. Because Quadzi was significantly ahead during this run, right up until Smash and Grab's just like, well, right over the ramp I go, and then just boom, it can be stopped from there.
Yeah. Meanwhile, so Big Bro.
Yes, a bit of controversy in this one.
Yes, Big Bro basically skips over one of the ramps because it just goes through concrete blocks as opposed to random.
The thing is, though, like the interview just before this, Ian did say he was going to do that. He says, I'm going to go through the labyrinth, as in literally, and... well, technically, after he did it, all of a sudden, he's getting chastised for it.
I mean, to put this in perspective, how well this goes. This robot gets a 10-second penalty and still shaves 6 seconds off the world record.
Right, let's get a look here, because I've... Okay, so the world record is 32.94 seconds.
No, it's 38 point. It's 38 seconds, and
I've got it on screen.
Bro's time.
I've got it on screen. Then now it's 32.94 at this time, because I remember taking note of this specifically to make this point. So it's 32.94 according to this thing on my screen. Big Bro gets in at 22 seconds flat. He gets a 10-second penalty, which takes it up to 32 seconds, which means Big Bro breaks the world record by 0.94 of a second. However, it's not granted it.
Right, okay.
So that's where the controversy kind of comes in here. And so, yeah, it's sitting at 32 seconds, but another second on that is the world record, and that, so that record remains. Interesting. So see if you would take you had your 32, and then if you took away the 22, you would end up with 12. So on the 12th day of Christmas, my true love gave to me 12 silver crosses, 11 black mascaras, 10 pairs of platforms, 9 tattered t-shirts, 8 pentagrams, 7 leather jackets, 6 cans of hairspray, 5 scholar rings, 4 quarts of jack, 3 studded belts, 2 pairs of spandex pants, and a tattoo of Ozzy. Merry Christmas, Alan.
We'll be back next week with day 3.